It's 61 degrees, and it's time for the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO and on AM 1340 KOMY Air America.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning. Wait a minute. I've never sung this jingle, and I better not, because it would make all of you throw up. Because I can't sing very well. So I'll welcome everybody to the Saturday special. And it's a beautiful, beautiful gray, monochrome, foggy day. But I'm sure that's going to change and it'll be sunny and nice later, okay?
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's MZ welcoming you to a special Saturday special. Aren't you excited? I am. We're going to talk about Agenda 21. We're going to talk about the United Nations. It's one and the same, I've just been told, by one of the guests in the studio, Jeannie Soderman, a regular caller to KSCO, good friend of the radio station, been with us for years and years as a caller, very, very committed letting people know what's going on behind the scenes, that not too many people have the time or the inclination or the desire to even know. Some people would call Jeannie a conspiracy theorist, and whether she is or not, she's a very big person in my eyes because she puts her money where her mouth is, and she really, really believes very, very strongly in letting people know what she has picked up over the years, and it's quite a bit. Also in the studio, we have Gary Arnold, who is also on the same from the same perspective of there being a plan that I get. You guys jump in and correct me if I'm saying anything that isn't quite right about a grand plan that we don't know about, or that most of the people don't know about. It's not as if our lives are not as if are not what they seem, right?
Well,
let me turn up your mic here, Jeannie.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. And it is a plan, Michael. It is not a conspiracy. And this is where you find, if you come down to the real truth, if you get too near the truth, people will say, oh, that's a conspiracy. And that's how...
I mean, is a conspiracy a bad thing? I mean, so...
No. Yeah. No, there's always conspiracy. When the government goes after someone, the people that they go after, oh, it's a conspiracy to do this, a conspiracy to do that. So that's in the court system. So it's a legal word, conspiracy.
Sure. So it seems that word bristles you and other people who are called conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
And I'm just asking, why? Why shouldn't you proudly wear the mantle?
Yes.
Because it's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's a statement of the way you believe it is, and it might be.
Yeah. This is how they've done with the media, with the people in the United States. If anyone says something that is detrimental against the government, well, they're anti-government or anti-social. And I'll talk about that later. Also, I will be talking about how they indoctrinate us at these workshops and the meetings, and how they use hypnosis. And this is very interesting because they are indoctrinating us at the workshops, especially the transportation meetings.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have an interesting program, to say the least. I should introduce our friend, our ambassador, our progressive and multicultural ambassador of the New World Order.
Liberal, too.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. The word conspiracy seems to have been tarnished in the same way that the word liberal has been tarnished.
Definitely.
Okay, all right. So I guess it's the same kind of a thing. Welcome, Cyril.
Thank you.
You ain't no stranger to these parts.
No.
I even heard you promo this program a little bit at the end of your Thursday noon balloon.
Well, yeah, I wanted to.
Excuse me, Noonski Bluesky.
Noonski Balloonski.
Yeah, right. Balloonski, right. All right, and to be just as, you know, direct as possible, Gary and Jeannie are nice people, but they're just all wet, right? Is that what you would?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what do you think?
I don't know what you mean. Since we're starting splitting semantics.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by all wet.
Well, you, not just Jeannie and Gary, but other people who have called your program. And I've got to say, lately, you've been a real gentleman about letting people be on and talk and just sort of engage them in conversation on your program. Whereas for years, it's like you had no patience for people who advanced what you would consider conspiracy theories, and you would hang up on them and dismiss them as nutcases.
Not right away. I always give people a chance to talk.
Lately, I must say that's true, but not so far back. Before that, I would say that's not true. I would say just from what.
No,
I
wait listen, a minute.
I think it's sort of funny actually when I hear. It's like you have no patience for anything.
No, but wait a minute. One of the first, my first encounters was when Claire, whatever happened to her, by the way.
Claire Moxley.
Yeah, yeah. Does anyone know? What?
Yes. She's a good friend of mine.
She okay?
She's fine.
Okay, good.
She's under my care, but she did have an accident.
Oh, boy.
And she has short-term memory loss now.
Oh.
And I do have a case in the district attorney's office for adult abuse by her two children. And so I'm processing that through the district attorney. So you can see what's happening with this society now.
Well, it's so sad. But I was going to say about Claire once. She called me during the show and brought over some paperwork. And I got her and said, why don't you just join me here? And she was there for the whole hour, the second hour, because she came in through during the break. And I had her for the whole hour. And that was, like, I don't know, 2 years into my radio.
Right.
Maybe less than that.
Around these parts, people run their own shows. When you're right. A KSCO programmer, you decide who and what you want to have on your program, and you can decide to not take phone calls from people if you don't want to. I mean, you're the one who decides. It's as simple as that. But the way I like to do things, for what it's worth, is to provide a forum for all points of view, unless it gets tiresome and repetitive, and you know where you can feel that the radio, you know, dials tuning to another station or turning off or whatever. So here we are. Agenda 21, we've talked about a number of times in the 15-plus years that we've operated KSCO Radio. I think we've had a couple of Saturday specials, at least, devoted to the subject, to the topic, haven't
yeah,
we?
We've yeah, we've had a couple specials. They've been real good, too.
Uh-huh.
And I was just going to ask Cyril, has he read the local Agenda 21 program? Because that really gives you all the ideas of how they're implementing it in Santa Cruz County.
By local Agenda 21, do you mean the document that came out of that ad hoc committee that was set up like in the mid-90s
somewhere?
Yeah,
Jeannie Nordland. Now, there's a name, Michael, that I want to know where this woman went. Her name is Jeannie Nordland. And
never heard that name before.
Really?
No,
she was the facilitator of the local Agenda 21. And
local, Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz County, what does local mean?
Local is Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz, in this general area.
Okay.
And she's gone underground, and I would have liked to have a good discussion with her, because all of a sudden she creates this totalitarian blueprint and then goes underground. So I'm just wondering where she is. Do you know where she is, Cyril?
I never met the person. I don't know anything about her.
Okay.
Have you heard the name before, Cyril?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but the most interesting fact that I found is that when I went on looking for on the internet, for on Google, for Agenda 21 and Santa Cruz County, the only thing that I found were the websites that are against Agenda 21. In particular, the Freedom 21 has grabbed this whole website from that original ad hoc committee with that included like Scott Kennedy and some other people, and they grabbed the whole website and put it under their subdirectory. There is apparently nothing going on in Santa Cruz area, in the Santa Cruz County, because I don't think that the county has ever even replied to the document that came out of that committee.
Well, let me interrupt here.
Here comes Gary. Yeah,
okay.
I was going
to. All right. The very fact that Agenda 21 and so-called local, the word local is a total fraud about it because it generated, and I've got the newsletter from AMBAG. AMBAG is the area, the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments. It's an overlay. It's a force that is behind the Agenda 21 to impose laws that will make the United States and local regional agencies more adaptive to a world government control. It defeats representative government in every way. They always are trying to change the borders and impose these so-called task force and economic summits. The same people that were involved in 1998, I've got the letterhead in front of me right now, and these are the big folks. Donna Blitzer. Now, there wasn't a meeting with this transportation committee that she wasn't at that I was at. She was the co-chair of the Futures Project that was put together in Monterey some 8 years ago. And Jack Ward, who's active in the Republican Central Committee, put out this as far as what goes on at these particular meetings. One, it's sponsored by McPherson, Farr, and AMBAG. No flag, no pledge of allegiance, tight control. They threaten to evict anybody putting out any information other than what they provided. The overriding observation of his was tight control by the facilitators. He talked about Nazi and fascists, which I heard Cyril talk about last week. He says a ghost of Joseph Goebbels and his thought police would be proud. After the keynote speech, there was only three questions allowed. What disturbed him most, there was no discussion or consideration on the effect of individual rights, property rights, free market, or national sovereignty. And given numerous opportunities, no opportunities were given to speak. The facilitators controlled it. It was impossible to argue against the report because they broke down the meetings in various groups in which those were controlled by people that had met earlier. This is a tactic that I've seen down in Orange County. It's a tactic that started 8 years ago when I ran into it in Monterey, and it's happening throughout the county constantly. And to be ignorant of Agenda 21 and be a member of the Republican Central Committee is a display of ignorance.
Well, that sounds like the transportation meetings. I went to about four transportation meetings, and Fred Keeley's there. Now, Fred Keeley he came from the assembly, and he's the mediator now. He is the one that's coordinating taking away our water wells, and also he's coordinating the transportation meetings. Now, he's very interesting because he's at all the transportation meetings, and they let you talk.
Isn't he the tax assessor now?
Yes, isn't that wonderful? He can take the money from us now, from our homes.
What do you mean tax collector for life?
Well, that's the best job for him ever, I think.
Is he? Oh, I see. But I mean, it's not a life.
No, I'm just kidding.
And I don't think he's the tax collector. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeannie or Cyril or Gary. I believe he's the tax assessor.
Assessor, right? Yeah.
Which is an elected position. Mm, so it's something you have to run for and be reelected for.
He was appointed to this, and of course, incumbency carries a lot of power.
Right.
Right.
Has he run yet?
I believe it's this November.
No, this November. But there's a transportation funding meeting coming up. And if you want to see how they do these facilitated meetings with predetermined outcomes, it's going to be September 21st at the Live Oak Senior Center in Capitola Road in Live Oak.
Now, what meeting is this?
This is Transportation Funding 101, and it's very cute what they're going to talk about, the many colors of transportation money. In other words, they're going to see what your threshold is for how much you want to put out for transportation, whether it's a ballot, whether it's sales tax. They're going to look, and who actually said we're looking for your threshold is at the Felton meeting. The facilitator was this lady, Eileen Goodwin. She gets $175 an hour plus expenses. The county
from the county of Santa Cruz?
No, she doesn't work. She's a consultant. See, this
well,
is
well, no, who pays the $175 an hour?
The Regional Transportation Committee.
And that's not the county?
Oh, yes, it is. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
so
it's under the Board of Supervisors.
So she's not an employee of the county, but
she's
contracted. Contracted, okay.
Yes, right. And who's the head of the Transportation Committee is Ellen Peary, my supervisor.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and so they actually look at the contract and they okay it. They have given Eileen Goodwin at least over $200,000 already. This is where the money is going
over
to the consultant.
Over what period of time?
About 3 years, yeah. Now, under her, she has several agencies. One is the lawyers group. One is a guy that he's well known in California regarding ports. Now, when we talk about ports, it's not seaports. They're going to be inland ports. And this is interesting, Michael, because have people heard about the NAFTA superhighway that's going to go from Texas up to the Canadian border? Have you heard about that?
I haven't, no.
This is just horrendous. And this ties in with our Regional Transportation Committee. What it does is the NAFTA superhighway is going to be 4 football fields wide, and they're going to have trucks going up from Mexico. And when the trucks from Mexico go through the Texas border, there will not be border agents there to stop them and inspect the cargo. It will be all electronic. And these trucks will go up through Texas, up, it'll split the United States of America, and go up to Kansas. This will be evidently the soil of the Mexican government.
You said go up to Kansas?
Kansas City, yes.
Oh, through Kansas, but continue up through
Canada. Yeah, but they'll stop at Kansas first, and they'll inspect the trucks.
Okay.
And this evidently is going to be the sovereignty of the Mexican government.
See, a lot of the trade coming is from Red China and,
right,
and overseas, and they're building the deep water ports right now. For instance, in Puerto Vallarta, it's going to be the deepest seawater port on the whole West Coast. They're building 85 high-rise buildings in the area. I was down there not too long ago, and they're going up all over the place.
So
what they're doing is building a backbone for a united Europe, a EU of the Americas with Canada, the United States, and Mexico. These meetings have already been taking place, and you can go onto the State Department site and see their advocation of this. But the overall emphasis coming in everywhere in the communities through UNESCO, through every other place, is the fact that it's United Nations done.
What does UNESCO stand for?
Go ahead.
UNESCO is the United Nations Scientific Cultural Organization. I missed one word, but
education. Yeah.
I know what UNICEF means because I learned that when I was trick or treating for UNICEF many, many years ago. United Nations International Children's Education Fund, or something.
Yeah, they're all
emergency
for the children,
fund. Emergency
right?
Fund,
yes,
me.
Right.
Yeah.
The website for looking up this NAFTA superhighway is www.spp.com. That's Sam P. PeterPeter.com. And they have a map there where it shows where this superhighway is going up. Now, I want to connect this to local because this is so important. If you don't understand international.
We want to see if we can make a connection here. Because everything you said, okay, I'm sure is true, but so what?
Okay.
So, yeah.
This is what's happening with the Regional Transportation Committee. They want to widen Highway 1. It will become a high occupancy vehicle lane first, but eventually they're going to use all toll roads. So for you to get on the road, you're going to have to pay money. Now, these toll fees will be put into a general fund, and they will go to help support all the feeder lines that go to this international NAFTA superhighway. And so it all joins
together. So that's the way they're going to fund the construction of it?
Yes, part of it.
So we should be looking for toll roads where we have freeways now. How soon, would you say?
They're doing it already on the East Coast. East Coast has a lot of toll roads.
Oh, they have for years.
This is...
This is Turnpike, the Turnpike system that's from...
That's true.
That comes from feudal Europe still.
But the West is starting to do regular highways, but they're also creating new highways, Michael, that are toll roads. Now, let me get back to Eileen Goodwin, what's under her. Her name of her organization is Apex Strategies. And under them is a lawyer's firm, Norseman, and there's about five names, but... There is a girl that works for this law firm that was, her name is Karen Hedlund, and she just spoke in front of a committee of the representatives of the Congress. And she says, we consult, we're the consultants for the super highway. So this lawyer firm is a consultant for the Super NAFTA Highway, and it's also a consultant for our local regional transportation committee. They're all intertwined, Michael. It's so incestuous of what's happening.
Now, when Jeannie mentioned about Jeannie Nordland being behind the Agenda 21 that was early 1900 or 1990s, that same Jeannie wrote for the AMBAG organization, which is the Association of Governments. And in her article, she states, and she's the mother of the so-called local, she says it's born out of the Earth Summit 1992. And so it is directly their goal. And when you read what they're going to control, this comes right from their book, 1993, page 315.
The book is called Agenda 21.
Agenda 21. And Senator Simon from Illinois, I believe, wrote the foreword to it. And it says, every human action, every personal decision, what we manufacture, what we buy, what we wear, how we travel, what we eat, what we who we choose as leaders, this is all coming under Agenda 21. This is pure communism.
Is that 21 for the 21st century?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a blueprint for the 21st century. It's a totalitarian socialistic blueprint, and it covers everything, Michael. Even how you think, what your religion will be. And I just wanted to say to Cyril, poor Cyril, he's in the middle of us here, Gary and Jeannie.
Okay, it's been half an hour.
That's right. And your eyes are turning up towards the ceiling. I can see that. But if you want to get a copy of Local Agenda 21, is just go down to the United Nations Association store. And
they have a
coffee roasting company down at Pacific Avenue and say, you want a copy of that? Or, see, it's the United Nations Association that puts it out.
I saw it on the Internet. It's quite available.
You go too much on the Internet. Just get local, Cyril.
Why?
Jeannie, what's wrong with getting it on the Internet if it's free? Do you think it's different from what the real document is?
There's a lot of disinformation on the Internet. But if you have the original documents and if you have the original blueprint, then you can kind of read what's disinformation and not. And there's, like you said, Freedom 21, you kind of went after them. What they have done, Cyril, is they have actually taken all the documents, and it's word for word.
That's exactly what I said.
Okay, so what did you say?
I said that that's the only site that I found about Agenda 21 in the Santa Cruz County.
Oh, I don't believe you.
Go. This is Gary. I disagree with Jeannie on one thing. I think the Internet is a fabulous tool in order to get information. Of course, you have to call the information and see what you're working with.
And there probably is some disinformation, but
sure.
So what? There's disinformation everywhere.
Yeah, I find so much information out there that has been unavailable for years. I mean,
sure.
Books
it's absolutely
one after another.
Wonderful.
It's amazing source, but you do have to test it. Also, Sam Farr wrote the foreword to the so-called Local Agenda 21. Of course, I think his constituents know he flies the United Nations flag at his at the front of his office door over there, and also the
where
at the U.S. House. Congress.
Oh.
You can go on the Internet and you can find Sam Farr's office with the United States flag and the United Nations flag right alongside. I believe he's the only congressman doing it.
Gary, that sounds like a public works department in Santa Cruz County. They were flying the United Nations flag along with the American flag on the doors. And I complained and put it into record at the Board of Supervisors. They took it down the week after.
Now, we were talking about education a little bit earlier, too. The local report was dedicated to a Mr. Ross. And I find in the newspaper that Steve Ross, belonging to the United Nations Association of Santa Cruz, was offering free UN guides to the teachers throughout the county. And I think one of the reasons Cyril's probably having a little bit of problem, he's the webmaster, web designer and creator for the United Nations Association lady, what's her name? Fiera
Olana.
Yes, and the United Nations.
Build the website for her.
The United Nations Association.
Lena Fairhot Haltzman, who comes on this program regularly.
Right,
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm sorry with trouble pronouncing her name with no disrespect, but you know.
Well, so what if if Cyril does her website?
I do KSCO website.
That's
She was head of the the United Nations Association in San Francisco, and that was the one that endorsed and helped fund the local Agenda 21. So
okay.
I don't want to put you in a compromised position.
I don't care. I mean, I'm a web developer. I develop websites.
Yeah.
So what?
Okay, and I would say it's clear that anybody – I'm going to make a blanket statement now, okay, that I truly believe. Anybody who is a supporter of the United Nations – is a globalist.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe that's a no-brainer, but
I don't think those two connected. But
okay. So you would disagree with that statement, Cyril?
Yeah.
So okay. Who's the power behind the United Nations, Cyril? Who's the power behind the Security Council?
There is really the Security Council, the membership.
I know that you believe, Cyril,
now,
that the United Nations is a good entity.
I never said that.
That it's not a bad entity,
right?
And it should not be dismantled because
right.
You and I have done programs together
right.
with Lena and others
right.
on that subject.
Right.
So I would consider you a supporter of the UN.
Membership in the United Nations, but that does not at all mean that I support everything that the United Nations does.
Oh, okay. Well,
it absolutely has nothing to do with the.
But you don't support the idea of us withdrawing from the UN and telling them to go, as my mother says in her commentaries, go leech off some other country.
No, I would rather see it reformed.
Well, what about all the treaties, then, that the United States is going on to, say, like the Biodiversity Treaty, which we haven't signed, but we're doing everything administratively?
Well, how is that the problem of the United Nations? If we haven't signed the treaty, and in the Constitution there is a clear-cut way, in Article 6, to go how the treaties should be affirmed. Right?
That's true, but our government is not following the Constitution.
Well, then it is our problem, not United Nations.
Oh, yes, because our government is behind the United Nations. Now,
okay.
If you go into a court system and you talk about private property, irrelevant. Really? You want to talk about our Constitution. Judge says,
I can't talk about that.
I don't
know that it's a terrible thing that Sam Farr, who clearly supports the UN, flies the UN flag outside his office. I mean, should he not have the right to do that? I mean,
well, there's certain loyalties. If you're loyal to the United Nations,
maybe he's wrong to do that, but I mean, he's got a right to do that if that's what he believes. I mean, Cyril
re-elected.
Has a right to.
Yeah, I think it's a good identifier. It's up to the people to make the changes and
exactly.
to get the guy out of there.
Yeah.
Well, it's two different ideologies, Michael. In the United States and in our Constitution, we have private property rights. In the United Nations, especially Habitat, which they just had a big urban council in Canada, they said private property is not correct because private property makes us rich, and that actually is social injustice. Can you believe how the United Nations, this is all the policies.
Well, you're pushing my button now because,
yeah.
You know, as a lot of people know, I don't advance much in the way of personal opinion on the radio. I'm sort of Mr. Neutral most of the time, just sort of a facilitator of discussions. But when the notion of property rights or any kind of a topic involving property rights comes up, and there's a big one that I'm going to be doing an editorial on, probably the first editorial I've done in 5 years, this week, I'm going to be writing it today, that really, really gets my goat. You know, there's nothing more important than the concept of property rights in a free society. Do you agree with that, Cyril?
Yeah. I remember invited by the same Lena. I was invited to speak to the Limousine Liberals in Pacific Grove in one of those lodge, whatever, bunch of people, and it was
Elks Lodge.
I don't remember. It was something right next to the golf course, the big one, on the 17-mile drive. And there was quite a bit of money apparently in that room. You know, 100 people. And my point was that private property is the foundation, the one and only foundation and guarantor of democracy. They sure didn't like it. I have never been invited to speak to them again.
Well, then, private property is the foundation, you're right, Cyril, of a Republican form of government. Because even in the Russian Constitution, they have democracy. Democracy is the rule of the majority, and they can take away the rights of the minority. And that's what's wonderful about a Republican form of government.
Small r, yeah.
Everyone has a say. Now, I want to go back to why, locally, our Board of Supervisors are not talking about Agenda 21. I went to a meeting at Pleasure Point, Friends of Pleasure Point, and Jan Butz was there. And I asked a question. Now, aren't these programs part of Agenda 21? Oh, no, Jeannie, can't talk about Agenda 21. And so...
You think she was mocking you?
She's a very good facilitator, but see, Jan Butz was one of the original that brought in Measure C in 1990. Measure C goes right in sync with Agenda 21. So she and Gary Patton, Robley Levy, who else was there that voted for that? But Measure C was carried on for 10 years. And in 2000, November 2000, the Board of Supervisors had something where they could put it on the ballot again for the people to vote on this Measure C, or they
could re-adopt. Yeah, the Decade of the Environment, I think it was called,
right? Decade of the Environment.
Am I right?
Right. Good for you, Michael.
Yeah.
And so what they did, they re-adopted it administratively, and they didn't want to put it on the ballot.
Well, it did get on the ballot, didn't it?
It didn't. It was re-adopted administratively, and now it's called the Environmental Principles for another 10 years. And you could see, like, private property rights, they're putting so many regulations on private property rights. Like Ellen Peary at a meeting in Aptos, one of the members of the public said, gee, don't you believe in private property rights? And this was her answer, very telling. I believe in private property rights to a certain extent, meaning they can put on as many regulations as they want.
Look.
And then
look,
you
I've
don't
said,
have private
I've said
property
it before.
Rights.
I don't know Ellen Peary. All. I don't really know her at all. I've never even met the woman.
Aren't you lucky?
I won't say that. I mean, from what you're telling me, I probably wouldn't like her because of she sounds like another Jan Butz.
Oh, they're right in sync.
Jan Butz is a person who is an enemy of private property rights. I've said that on this station many, many times, and I haven't said it in recent years. We haven't had many discussions about that. We're going to have a lot of discussions about that, you know, very soon because of what they are doing to Live Oak property owners.
Right. They're red tagging a lot.
No. Well,
no,
I don't know about that. I mean, that's probably true, too. But,
right.
But no, what's going on here, they're what I call nationalizing properties. They're having them declared historical landmarks if they were built more than 50 years ago. And when something is declared a historical landmark, it basically means that you don't own the property anymore. It means the government owns the property because you will never be able to get a demolition permit, for example, if you wanted to demolish a rotten old building.
Right.
They're doing a lot of the West with the various land trusts or the so-called foundations and government-private partnerships.
When you say a lot of the West, you mean West Santa Cruz? Or?
West of Mississippi.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's not just
in Santa Cruz.
Oh, no. This is an international program.
Isn't this sort of the mecca for that? Isn't this sort of the ultimate proving ground for or guinea pig
this,
area.
Yeah, this
for,
is a petri
that.
Dish for
that's the word
for
yeah.
the experimentation because we had Agenda 21 almost before 92 when it first came out.
Right.
And you find the very powerful people. In fact, it was Rockefeller that donated the land for the UN itself. And you look at the Packards and you look at the O'Neill Foundation and you look at the all these places where the millionaires put their money. That's safe, that's not taxed like you and me, but they still control what happens. And so they go in and purchase land, take it off the tax rolls, and when you read through their trusts, they have the ability to put it back, in use in future times. There are clauses within these things that don't keep it off limits forever, which is, probably good. But you'll find most of these things that they're doing for us, there's no trespassing signs. You're not supposed to be able to get on them. You're not supposed to be able to use them. The so-called sanctuary out here, less and less use of our bay is available because it's now a United Nations sanctuary.
I wasn't aware of that, and maybe I need a little education here, but I don't think that Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary has been a bad thing. I think it's been a good thing.
Well, I thought it was, Michael, and I even donated a fax machine to the organization Save Our Shores.
So do you think now, knowing what you know now that you apparently didn't know then, do you wish you hadn't donated that fax machine
or
supported it?
I wish I would have kept it, yes.
Wow.
Look what happened here with the fishermen because of some fish up in Klamath Falls. They can't really fish their quota, and the fishermen are going out of business. Now, this is
critical. Wait a minute. Is that because that could only happen because the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary is in place? Suppose there hadn't been a Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary. I don't know what. Couldn't that have happened anyhow? Couldn't the fishermen have been screwed anyhow?
Yeah, but they're going by the principles of all the treaties regarding fish. Now, you've got to remember, this is pseudoscience. They come up with whatever science meets their predetermined goal. And there are plenty of fish out in the ocean, but they want to get rid of our fishermen. And this is what's happening. The multinational corporations are taking over. And it's public-private partnership. And the government will be the senior partner. And the government controls these contracts, these partnerships.
Okay.
Can I maybe get a couple of words in?
Sure, Cyril. Just wondering where you were.
Don't want to interrupt. Since I was originally interrupted, I couldn't finish my original point.
Now, who interrupted you, Cyril?
Gary.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, he said, let me interrupt. He actually said that.
Oh, did you say you may,
No, I did just let it go.
Omission by you just let it go. You could have said, no, I want to keep on talking.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead. Be assertive, Cyril.
What I want to say is what I started trying to make a point. All of those documents that I saw, and I just went on the internet, and I couldn't find anything after 1999 or maybe 2001. There is a couple of websites that relate to Agenda 21 outside of the United Nations documents in maybe 2003. But for the Santa Cruz County, again, I made a search. There's nothing. This original ad hoc committee with all its documents is apparently gone. Maybe Ginny thinks that they're going underground. Quite possibly. Maybe they're hiding. But nothing there. What Gary was reading, again, came from 1998. My point is, I'm not a supporter of Agenda 21 by absolutely no means. It's a socialistic baloney. But my point is that it is apparently not.
It sounds like you're acknowledging its existence.
So, yes, Cyril, let me have a question.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me see. There is from one of the websites. I think it's from the United Nations. Okay. So Chapter 8, Agenda 21, calls for countries to adopt national strategies for sustainable development (NSDS). Now, in 1997, special session again noted the importance of NDS, meaning that between 92 and 97, nothing has been done. Now, in 2002, in the World Summit for Sustainable Development, urged states to come up with those things, like NSDS. It's a national strategy. Then I got on that national strategy thing, and I found how many countries actually have it. United States does not have it. United States doesn't have a national strategy of whatever the sustainable development strategy. It apparently is going nowhere. That's my point.
Okay, Cyril. So you're saying that when you get on the internet, what you're finding is there's no agenda, local Agenda 21 on the internet.
I didn't find anything about the local Agenda 21 except for sites like Freedom 21.
Okay.
That captured the original website from the original ad hoc committee.
The computer says the name Agenda 21 became known for as a bad thing, so they removed the site and changed the name to Smart Growth, etc.
Ah.
The original Agenda 21 site was removed and the name was changed. Hey, you know, I haven't told anybody for a long time. I'm not a very good broadcaster because I haven't told our listeners what station and dial position they're listening to in a long time. And so I'm going to correct that now. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. And if it's not, it better be or else. I'll just put it that way. It's the Saturday special with MZ. We're talking about Agenda 21 and the United Nations. And the whole notion of globalism, is it a good thing or it's a bad thing? I think it's a bad thing, personally. I'm convinced. But what do you think? We're going to open the phone lines in just a little bit here. The phone numbers are phone number is 479-1080. We have a bank of lines here. We have a fax number, 475-2967. And I have an email address, mz@ksco.com, where you can email me during the show or after the program. I'll do my best to answer an email that isn't a spam or a form email or whatever. Can't always promise. Sometimes they fall through the cracks. mz@ksco.com will get you to me. So, Dave. How are you, Dave?
I've been better. I'm okay, though.
Okay. Well, I know you're but hopefully you'll feel much better. Now, we have some nice commercials, right?
Yes, we do.
I think it's probably a good time to play those commercials. What do you think?
I think that sounds good.
Let's do it. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Ferguson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet?
Dave Allen, A Blast to the Past, Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m.
We're going to rock around the clock tonight. What's your glad ride show? Join me home.
It was was a night. Ooh, what a lot it was. It really was such a night.
34 wagon and we call it a Woody. It's Surf City. Here we go.
Doolang, doolang. He's so fun.
Doolang,
doolang, doolang. Our day will come.
'Cause it's witchcraft.
Get my drift Sunday afternoons 5 p.m. here on AM 1080 KSEO. Get with the program.
Spending time in the great outdoors doesn't have to mean roughing it, especially when you have the latest camping gear from Outdoor World. A lightweight, ultra-comfortable sleeping pad, a weather-resistant tent, or a cozy, warm sleeping bag will make spending time in the great outdoors, well, great. Outdoor World has the latest gear for camping, hunting, or fishing. Check out the new drip coffee maker from Coleman, designed to fit on camp stoves, or the cool and sturdy stainless steel Coleman ice chests. You'll also find camp cookware, cots, lanterns, and accessories. Going fishing? Check out Outdoor World's selection of fishing poles, waders, boots, and tackle boxes. And duck hunters will love Outdoor World's selection of hunting rifles, ammo, gun safes, and camo clothing. With so much gear in one place, you're bound to find what you're looking for, and maybe something a little extra, like time. Shop Outdoor World in Monterey on Fremont Street, on River Street in Santa Cruz, and on 41st Avenue in Capitola. Look for their ad in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
Many of our Marines and Navy corpsmen have either made the ultimate sacrifice or have returned from the Middle East with injuries so severe they will never again regain the life that most of us take for granted. Hello, I'm Al Cheney from the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation.
And I am Michael Olson from KSCO. The sons and daughters of those who have paid the ultimate price to secure our freedom deserve your help. And you can help by playing golf.
That's right, Michael. You can help by supporting the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation Central Coast Open. Founded in 1962, the foundation has helped more than 13,000 students go to college.
The Central Coast Open tees off at Laguna Seca in Monterey on Friday, September 22nd at 12 noon with a four-person scramble, followed by dinner, prizes, and a silent auction.
Donate money, sponsor a hole, provide gifts for the silent auction and raffle, or play golf in our Central Coast Open. Call the foundation at 831-625-6131 or log on alpost591.org.
Semper Fi.
Oh, hi there. Does that mean we're back on the air here? Thank you, Dave. It's 10:52, about 8 minutes remain. You're listening to the Saturday Special with Cyril and Gary Arnold and Jeannie Soderman. And if you want to call us, you can, 479-1080. And here's Mike in Santa Cruz. Been waiting a long time, Mike, but you're on now.
Yeah. Hi, Z. Thanks for the program today. I just want to ask Cyril the question that Jeannie asked him a while ago, which is whether or not he's read Agenda 21. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to just go ahead and say we should just assume that he has not. And
no, I haven't.
He has not. You have?
No, I haven't. The whole Agenda 21? No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, okay. That's what I was assuming. And so I think that given that, you should just sit quietly and listen, and then we could all listen and learn some things about Agenda 21. I notice every time
you're trying
you
to suggest to Mike how to run his show and what guests to bring in?
Oh, don't put it on him. Cyril, wasn't a correct one.
Quietly, so we can listen to Jeannie and Gary, who know plenty about Agenda 21, okay. And the public out here needs to hear it.
Okay, good, good. Michael, should I just leave and go home?
No.
You see, the callers suggest that I shouldn't be talking. That's very similar. Isn't it a little bit something like Bill Clinton sending the letter demanding that
CBS
that ABC take off that thing? Wonderful President Clinton.
Mike, it's okay for Cyril to speak. That's why we invited him to be here, to represent the other point of view here.
Some people just don't like hearing other points of view.
Yeah, and I think Cyril has been a very, very courteous today. Don't you agree, Jeannie? I mean,
yeah, it's been kind of nice, Cyril, sitting beside you, and you not getting after me. So it's been nice. It's a nice relationship.
Or ridiculing her.
Yes.
I'm not ridiculing anybody.
You haven't. You've been great, is what I'm saying. Gary, what do you think? I mean, hasn't Cyril been a complete gentleman today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, you know,
that's all. So, Mike, you know, we love you, Mike, but you're all wet on that one. Okay. So.
No, a contest and challenges are really important. It certainly would help if he had some more information on it. And I have criticism that way, too. And being a member of the Republican Central Committee for, you know, involved with them for years, they have an obligation to know what's going on in the community.
I personally have very little information on this, but I'm willing to listen. And then just make up my own mind, you know, what I think. But I'm not going to be closed-minded for just about anything. And I think people who are closed-minded are terrible people who should be eliminated. No, I'm only kidding. Here, Big Gun Gordy is on the phone next. I can't. Oh, now I can bring him up here. Hi, BGG, you're on.
Good morning. I just had a little discussion with the call screener. I want to mention several things. First of all, people that might be listening might be wondering how this affects their personal life. And that's the problem, is most people do not understand how this Agenda 21, the globalists, whatever you want to call them, are affecting their personal life.
Can you enlighten us in your phone call today?
I will to some extent. I can't cover it all. There's too much to cover. Right up front, Cyril, I hope your mother is doing well, and we are praying for her.
Thank you, Mike. I will take any help I can get.
Big Gun Gordy is talking.
The planning department, redevelopment, are, you know, shoving down a number of these sustainable development projects down our throat at our expense. Forestry has been all but curtailed in this county. The fishermen, as Jeannie alluded to earlier, are no longer able to fish. Self-defense is a thing of the past. There's a number of people that are currently under arrest for defending themselves and their property. The public parks and property that was formerly owned by private individuals bring no tax revenues, which increase the burdens on the rest of us. We have the Mexicanization of our schools. Those are a few of the things that have come about due to the UN's influence and Agenda 21 in particular. Those all affect us. Those are things we have not voted on. We haven't sent our representatives to enact these things. These have come from a tyrannical form of government under the disguise of peace, world order, globalism, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the few of the things that I want to point out to these people that think it doesn't affect them. It does affect you very much, and you should be outraged that your representatives in the government, locally, statewide, nationally, do not represent you. They represent the enemy.
Gordy, you're right. On the recent economic summit they had held in downtown Santa Cruz, they did not address illegal aliens, and you can't not have an economic summit and address that. Nor can you ignore that the people that were sitting on the panel included the same people that are in the original Agenda 21 here locally. It is not dead. It's alive. They just continually put on different labels and different names. It's the same game plan, and they are financed by the big multinationals and your tax money.
Yeah, and the local politicians' names that were mentioned here, I mean, these are retreads. We know they're bad people. No matter how they change their imagery or, you know, change their labels, change their website names, we know who they are.
We got Tony Hill, Cynthia Matthews. In fact, Tony Hill almost felt like the token black up there. He says, with his head kind of hanging and both hands in his pocket, he says, you know, I've been through this before.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
he,
why.
He
I'm...
was just, you know, he's just apparently sick and tired of being trotted out there for all these show teams. And then they go into their organized facilitator, and I pull down that facilitator's name, and you go to her website. site, and they talk how they can change attitudes and all this other stuff. So you go to their own sites and how they're trying to manipulate you, and it's amazing. And they do exactly like Jack Ward said. There's no Pledge of Allegiance. There's no flag. There's no in fact, they had the city manager from the city of Santa Cruz as part of the panel, which I think is a, you know, should be a an ethics problem there. But these people are trying to make policy outside of where our elected people are. That is their whole purpose, is to destroy local representative government, blur the borders and boundaries wherever they can.
Oh, well, Agenda 21 never went through Congress, by the way, Gary. After the Earth Summit in 1992...
I hate to do this, gang, but we're coming up on the break at the top of the hour. Jan and SLV, we want to thank Big Gordy, Big Gun Gordy, Rory in Watsonville, Michael and Salinas. You'll be up next at the top of the hour right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m. Here it is.
News Radio, I'm Karen Stewart. Atlantis is up where she belongs.
6, 5, three main engines up and burning. 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis.
The shuttle blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida this morning after 2 weeks of aborts, with a live report from the Kennedy Space Center. Here's Fox News Radio's Holly Hickman.
Karen, the space shuttle's in orbit, and so far, so good. NASA's Leroy Kane says the launch countdown was clean, so clean he didn't have much in his notes at today's press conference.
It's kind of on console, go for launch, launch, Miko, and there's not a whole lot else in between there.
As for after liftoff, NASA photos show a piece of foam falling, but preliminary results show the atmosphere wasn't thick enough for it to do any damage. The crew will perform a self-check once they dock. That should be sometime Monday morning. Karen?
Fox News Radio's Holly Hickman reporting live from Cape Canaveral. Ex-fugitive Ralph Bucky Phillips faces charges today. The massive manhunt for him ended last night at the New York-Pennsylvania border. Phillips has already appeared in court once today and has been turned over to state police to be charged with attempted murder. He's accused of shooting 3 state troopers, killing one of them. Fox's Rena Ninen has more on his capture.
He was captured barefoot. He was later handcuffed and shackled and taken by federal police and U.S. marshals in state police vehicles. He was transported to Buffalo Federal Courthouse. The capture was a very sweet victory for state police.
In Vienna, Austria, European Union foreign ministers are holding informal talks on a response to Iran's decision not to halt uranium enrichment by the UN deadline. The EU wants to continue diplomatic efforts with Iran. That's in opposition to the U.S. view that sanctions should be quickly imposed. This after Tehran opted to continue enriching uranium despite that UN resolution. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Calvin Hill. As an all-pro running back for the Dallas Cowboys, my focus was football. But as a husband, father, and now a grandfather, today I'm focused on my family and my heart. Recently, I was shocked to learn that because of high cholesterol, I'm in danger of developing heart failure. It's a deadly condition that kills more people each year than AIDS and breast cancer combined. I know because heart failure took my father's life. It robbed him and our family of many special moments together. 5 million Americans have heart failure, and many millions more are at risk. It's too late for my father, but not for me or you. Modern medications and devices can help all of us enjoy the precious days ahead. Ask your cardiologist about your risk for heart failure and the available treatment options. Learn how to win the only game that really matters, and be there for the ones that you love.
To learn how you and your family can win against heart failure, call 1-800-AHA-USA1 or click on the Heart Profiler link at AmericanHeart.org.
The war on terror is on the minds of President Bush and the Democrats ahead of the 5th anniversary of 9/11. Bush used his weekly radio address to urge Congress to approve his plan for prosecuting terror suspects.
We know what the terrorists intend because they have told us. They hope to establish a totalitarian Islamic empire across the Middle East, which they call a caliphate, where all would be ruled according to their hateful ideology.
President Bush will make a televised speech tomorrow night. The Democratic response to the address came from Ohio Congressman Sherrod Brown.
It's unacceptable that this Republican government hasn't done all it can
to protect Americans in the 5 years since the September 11th attack.
Congressman Brown said the war on terror should refocus on destroying al-Qaeda. British PM Tony Blair is in Israel today to meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders. Blair will be talking to Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert about the fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. Meantime, Fox News has learned that Olmert is ready to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Whether he actually will or when is yet to be determined. Tropical storm Florence is on the verge of becoming a hurricane as it moves closer to Bermuda. Its wind speeds are up to 70 miles per hour now. Forecasters don't know if Bermuda will take a direct hit, but they say the storm is large enough to cause some rough surf at a minimum. Right now it's blowing through the Caribbean and headed for Bermuda, not on a path towards the United States.
We aren't forecasting it to come close to the U.S., and the only impacts would be potential swell, but we aren't seeing any major any direct impacts of the storm.
Michael Fiorno from the National Hurricane Center. And Pope Benedict has begun a six-day pilgrimage to southern Germany that will include a visit to the town where he was born. It's his first to his Bavarian homeland since he became Pope. I'm Karen Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather report for today, Saturday, September 9th, 2006. Today you can expect clearing conditions with highs around 66 degrees and winds west at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight some clouds with lows around 50 degrees and winds west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow you can expect a few passing clouds, otherwise generally sunny conditions with highs around 68 degrees and winds west at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a mixed swell, northwest 3 to 6 feet at 9 seconds, and south 2 to 3 feet at 17 seconds, along with patchy fog. And tonight out there on the bay, west winds 10 to 15 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight, with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a mixed swell, northwest 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, and south 2 to 3 feet at 17 seconds, along with patchy fog after midnight. The temperature here at the station is 62 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, not to be negative. Well, you know what? I'll just fade up the music and we'll come back here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, not to be negative, Jeannie and Gary, but, you know, from the indications of the just the sheer numbers of people that who we have on hold to talk about it. It's, you know, good friends of the station, you know, Jan and Rory and Michael, nobody else. I hate to say it, but I don't think enough people care. I think you might as well face the music that, you know, no matter how many programs we do on this station and no matter how we try to educate people, no one gives a damn. I mean, I'm not no one. Obviously, Jan and Rory and Michael and people who are on hold give a damn. And obviously, you and Gary give a damn. I give a damn. But it just doesn't affect that many people yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is interesting because when I've done radio shows, if you're into a new subject or bringing new information, people will not call in. They want to listen to see what the latest news
is. Hope you're right. Hope my analysis is wrong and yours is right.
And also, the people that understand what is really happening, and Santa Cruz is becoming so socialistic and totalitarian that they don't want to discuss the issues with us because because they know we have the information and we can really set them straight what's really happening. So I'd like a dialogue with one of these people that sure. really believe in local Agenda 21, like Jeannie Nordland. Bring her on. I want a dialogue with her.
Smoke another one, Jeannie. It ain't going to happen. You know, so, hey, listen, before we get back to the phone calls, let's see. As I said, Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, Rory in Watsonville, and Michael in Salinas. We have a hot off the press K's commentary. Take it away, Dave.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
This is called Bush Haters Find a Way to Kill the President Vicariously. Having learned recently of the movie about the assassination of an American president, the reporting of this new film left no doubt whatsoever that it is about President George Bush, with the author using wishful thinking re his right to free speech. How much lower can we go because we pride ourselves in having free speech, which includes the right to burn the American flag in public and stomp on it, and we allow illegals here to do the same? How far have we stooped to diminish our president and the presidency for some to not only be proud of what a great idea this film is, but what big profits can be made out of discrediting our country's leader. This same ilk of miserable, sore-head extremists, both here and abroad, are tearing down the respectable fabric of our brave and beautiful country. Many U.S. liberals are obsessed with hate because they are not running the country and because they really did lose the last two elections. I predict that they will fail in November because they offer no solutions to their endless complaints. They and the media made a big to-do about Abu Ghraib, which pales in comparison to what the enemy does, i.e. slicing off hands and heads, hiding behind women and children in hospitals, and when in combat dressed as civilians. Such a lopsided war has never been fought before, and our liberals keep harping on us not being compassionate. In my lifetime, it has always been an unspoken rule that past presidents do not criticize the current president publicly. That rule has been discarded by Clinton and Carter, two of our weakest leaders. Leave it to our low-class, though charming, President Clinton, the one who dirtied the Oval Office, the one who lied under oath, the one who left the White House taking every piece of furniture not nailed down, all with the help of Hillary, who now wants to be our president. God help us. They were forced to return the stolen property, which they did shamelessly. Nice resume, right? Clinton and Carter both make speeches discrediting the president and the administration, all of which comforts the enemy. Carter was a one-term president, the one who gave away our national protection, which the U.S. built, the Panama Canal, which is now run by the Chinese. Our troops, wherever they are, feel shame and embarrassment about this display of national disloyalty. How can we hope to win in Iraq and help it become a democracy when our own media presents the blackest pictures and withholds all the good things happening in Iraq, of which there are so many? How disloyal, how unpatriotic, how demoralizing, how treacherous, how clear that our own media wants us to lose in Iraq. When the time comes that we must have a draft to defend ourselves against the Islamic fascists here at home and abroad, How many of these miserable, loudmouthed citizens who criticize every Republican move yet provide no solutions will stay and defend our country? And how many will scurry away to Canada or elsewhere? I dread to know that answer. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
Way to go, Kay. Way to go, Ma. All right, you're back. We're all back on hour number one of the hour number two, rather, of the Saturday special. Jeannie Soderman, Gary Arnold, Cyril Vitomsky, and MZ with you, the callers. If you want to call us, we've got a couple of lines open at 479-1080. Let's thank the people who have been waiting patiently for a long time. Go back to the phones. Jan and Sluv, which is San Lorenzo Valley.
Sluv, it's the San Lorenzo Valley. We've got sunshine up here.
Sluv. That's how I pronounce it.
Good morning, that what, all of you down there. I want to relate how Agenda 21 affects our water. I got involved with the San Lorenzo Valley Water District up here in San Lorenzo Valley, Boulder Creek, Ben Lomond, Felton, Brookdale. There, the San Lorenzo Valley Water District members are helping Agenda 21. A while back, there was some property called Waterman's Gap. That was donated to the district, to the people of the district. The managers of the water district put it up for sale. They said it was land that we didn't need, or I can't remember the exact word. There were offers put in. One was for $19 million for the logging rights, you know, to keep down the fire danger, and we would keep the land. But they didn't want to let the people vote on all this. What they did was they took $10 million from the Sempervirens, who donated it to the state. Now, that goes into Castle Rock Park. Now, Big Basin and Castle Rock Park, I'm sure Jeannie knows more about this than I do, are under some type of UN treaties or protection or something like that?
Yeah, they're under the protection of the United Nations, and this is what's happening. Every time a property goes into state control, it actually, the state has a contract and an agreement with national and international. And Waterman's Gap did connect onto Castle Rock, and that is administrated and managed by the United Nations. You can actually find that on the web, and it lists all the different Wilder Park, Wilder Ranch. We're actually surrounded, Santa Cruz, by management of the United Nations. What's happening is the United States is so much in debt that they're actually that is part of the debt money going to the IMF and the international boys. So they're actually saving our resources and our land, and this is debt money going to the IMF and the World Bank. It's quite insidious.
And now with the Felton water fight against Cal-Am, with the supervisors' help, I believe that once they do take this over, that this whole system is going to be consolidated by the county so that it's easier to rule. They want control of our wells. They want us off the land up here in the mountains because, well, I don't know if you people have heard of the Wildlands Project. But, yeah, like Jeannie said, they're going to take control of our water.
Hey, Jan, how long have you lived how long have you lived in the county?
Oh, gosh, on and off for about 35 years.
So were you a resident about, must have been about 10 years ago, when there was a big to-do with the supervisors involving metering of wells? And
yeah.
You remember that?
I was never so proud of the people of Santa Cruz as I was that day.
Uh-huh.
They came in numbers. We filled the supervisor's chamber.
Yeah, I was there at that meeting.
Behind there and all the way out the doors.
And I saw those supervisors quivering.
Yes.
I saw them afraid for their lives.
They
saw them they thought that they might have been in a lynching or about to be lynched, you know, as in the old West.
Oh, I wish it could.
And that's what more of that needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. We
more
need
of that needs to happen,
people.
and especially with respect. I'm going to give you a little clue about my upcoming editorial about historic designations of property against a property owner's will. Okay, I consider that nationalizing or taking of a person's property.
Well, up here in the San Lorenzo Valley, we're really having a fight on our private property because we can't get help when people come onto our property and steal our wood. Not only are they stealing the oak and madrone for firewood, but they're coming up and stealing the burl. Now, burl sells for, this is like veneer.
Yeah.
They strip it very thin little strips, you know.
Well, the point is
worth thousands of dollars.
I don't know how many people listen to KSU. I think a lot, but there's no way of proving it, you know, and we'll never know how many people are listening at a given time or who listen cumulatively or whatever. But I'd like to think that as during the time of the supervisors meeting at which they talked about metering everybody's private wells in the county, that a similar scene would take place, that the people would rise up and say, no, 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 no.
Well, as long as we get the word out when these things are happening, we need to have like a telephone tree of who to call so that we can get people there when we need them.
Yeah.
Well, they are revising the well ordinance now, and I go once a month to the Water Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Jeannie.
And what's happening is the lead guy there is John Ricker from the Environmental Health Services.
Right. Yeah.
And he says, well, they're not going to meter wells right now, but what they're going to do is make it very expensive for the people that have private water wells. And you're going to have to come to certain specs of if there's pollution around the well, say if you have a cow near there or ducks or geese or whatever, then that pollution goes in the ground and then goes in the groundwater. So they're looking at coming on the land and do water quality testing. And I asked John Ricker, I said, well, how much is that going to cost the average homeowner? And he said about $200. But see, they're tacking progressive taxation. And that's what they're doing now. They're getting all these regulations, pollution regulations on private land regarding near the well head. And then eventually they'll go after meters.
Yeah, the dichotomy on this stuff, too, is while you're fighting to control your little parcel of land, we've got Ted Turner that gives $1 billion to the United Nations. He's one of the largest landowners in the United States. Maurice Strong, who chaired the Agenda 21 in Rio, just one of his ranches in Colorado is 63,000 acres of Baca Ranch. And it's a shame that our law enforcement now does not work for the city or the county. You'll read in the Sentinel from time to time, and they're on crusades to work on seat belts and different things like that. They have no time to put the illegal aliens that address the economic situation there or protect you from trespass or anything else. They have been virtually nationalized, the same thing that's happening to Michael's property here. It's not your representatives for your city and your county are no longer acting like that. Each one of those agencies sends a person to AMBAG for their monthly meetings, and they come back with their instructions. The same is true with the city managers and the finance managers. They go to these regional agencies, and they come back with new tax laws, new ideas, which is whipping into shape your city and your government so it'll fit into a new world order.
And can I also put it into this mix that the Sierra Club is working with them up here in the Valley Women's Club, the Environmental Committee is working with them. Eventually, some of us fear what they're going to do is burn us out so that they can take control of all of this watershed up here.
What do you mean, burn you out? What does that mean?
What do you think these fires have been about all over the United States?
Yeah, especially in Nevada.
Because you can't rebuild after. They want this land. They want our water. And they'll do whatever they need to do to take it.
Well, Janet, what's interesting, and I have to go back to Keeley, because this is Assembly Bill number 2486, and this was in 2002. It's called Environmental Enforcement and Training Act. And what it is they have roving prosecutors. This was actually signed by the governor of California, and they have roving prosecutors, and they go on private land to see if there's any environmental pollution. And there's snitches, too, and the DA office is in on this, where they pay a certain amount of the fine to the snitches, and then to the one that brought the case to court, and then to the one that's prosecuting it. This is what Keeley did to us, and now he's our assessor. God help us.
In the early 1980s, these planning departments send 9 members to the Aspen Institute in Colorado. Also, Gary Patton, who does Land Watch over here, he, you know, during those same years, he greeted the ambassador from Communist Granada. But anyway, between the billionaires and the Marxists, you're going to have a hard time hanging on to your property.
Cyril.
What?
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been observing you while Jeannie and Gary were speaking, and you had a grin on your face. You were looking toward the ceiling. You were rolling your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to ask the personal question. I want to ask you. You don't have to answer if it's too personal. Do you live on? You own your house, right?
Right.
Okay. Is it on a lot with city water, or do you have a well?
No, it's a city.
Okay. If
It's an unincorporated area.
Right, but you do get city water, like what?
Well, Soquel
Creek water.
Yes,
yeah,
right,
that's what
right,
I thought. Okay.
Right.
If you lived on, if your home was not on city water.
That's one of the reasons that we never even considered when we were buying that house.
Yeah.
We never even considered getting out of the the Soquel Water District area.
And the reason again?
Because I didn't want to. We didn't want to get into that mess.
You think it's wrong then for the government to try to
This is the 5-minute service on Fox News Radio.
I don't want to hear the 5-minute service on Fox News Radio. Damn it! Anyhow. Good. I'm liking what I'm hearing. So you think that's wrong
to the extent that they're doing? Yes, but however, let's still imagine the situation. Like you have in that Belmar. Do you have well or something?
I have a well, and I.
Well, what do you think would happen if somebody next to you, on his property, starts dumping hazmat?
Yeah.
And it gets into the watershed.
Yeah, hazardous materials.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are rules in place
right.
for that.
So,
environmental health rules. You know all about that because your wife was head of environmental health.
Right. Well, I don't know. Right? I don't know all about it, but I know a bit. Yes. Somebody somehow has to regulate it, right?
I'm not saying it should be unregulated. I'm not saying there should be no laws. I'm not saying there should be no zoning laws.
Right.
I'm not saying there shouldn't be historical preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Not against years. The property owner's wishes.
So let me think about this, the preservation. What I think, if the county wants to designate this station to be the historical landmark, the county needs to put up the money and buy it from you, and then they can do it, whatever. I think that's the only way they should do it. Otherwise,
sort of like eminent domain.
Well, but in compliance with the Constitution, with Article 4, I think.
Okay, I don't think there's any provisions for that. I don't think there's any provisions for that. And I'm holding a list of, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 other properties that are about to be nationalized here in the county of Santa Cruz.
I wouldn't still call it nationalization, Michael. And it's a little bit of a stretch.
What would you call it?
Well, it's a bureaucratic restraint. But it is not really nationalization because you still can mortgage that, right? The property.
Yeah, I can still mortgage it.
You can still sell it.
But probably not for the same, for anywhere near the same value. It's a taking. Do you understand what a taking is? A taking does not necessarily mean you're totally deprived of the bundle of rights.
Right, right.
A taking can mean you are deprived of certain values.
I agree. But nationalization
has a
specific meaning. Nationalization is when the state owns it, like what it was back in the Soviet Union, like what it was in the UK when when the state owned
using the word nationalization or nationalizing is a stretch or an exaggeration.
But
you get the point, ladies and gentlemen. And people who are going to sit still for if they want to, fine, there are going to be probably a lot of people who would be honored to have their properties designated. I might even be one of them. But I don't want to have to.
We're moving into the area of fascism where the government's controlling, or a lot of times it's beneficial, sometimes it's not. But we're moving right into fascism. And
are you nodding your head, Cyril?
This is probably the most the closest to fascism area in this whole country. The Santa Cruz County.
So what were you rolling your eyes before when Jeannie was talking about private wells and
when
things?
Jeannie was talking
I wanted to ask you that personal question.
Yeah, when Jeannie was talking about IMF, I didn't roll my eyes when she was talking about wells or John was talking about wells. I was rolling my eyes when Jeannie was talking about United States owing money to the IMF. United States is the largest contributor to the IMF. It pays about 17% of IMF funds. That's why United States has a controlling vote in the IMF.
What the hell's the difference?
What do you mean?
What the hell's the difference?
United States pays the money. The IMF is basically like a credit union.
So you were rolling your eyes for the same reason that that I might have exaggerated when I said nationalizing the property?
No, but
isn't the point the same?
No, the point. My understanding of what Jeannie was saying was that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeannie, that United States owes the debt to the IMF, and that's why United States is paying with the property rights to the IMF and the United Nations. Is that basically the gist of what
you're
saying?
The taxpayers that are out.
We're almost bankrupt, and we're going to go bankrupt. The United States is going down, and this is the only way they can control us is to have another emergency, whether that's avian flu virus or a nuclear attack or some other emergency, because, gosh darn it, we're just too independent. You know, get on with it and get socialized. And there's another big term coming up called anti-social. And this is what they're going to target us through sustainable development. If we do not go by the principles, if we don't conserve enough water, if we're taking too much of the resources, they call it carrying capacity, then we are antisocial to the community. They're doing that already in England.
What does that mean? Will we be put away?
You're going to be fined and maybe have one child. If you have two children, then you're antisocial because you're taking up too much of the resources where you live. It's being antisocial to the community. This is where it becomes collective. It's not having individual rights. The community as a collective has the rights. And that's where they have all the community associations like La Selva Beach Improvement Beach Association. My gosh, now even when I go in there, I can't even record. I can't have a videotape. I can't have an audio tape because they don't want you to know what's going on in there.
Just like the article I read earlier with Jack Ward talking about the globalistic way that they run these meetings. Also, we started off the program saying from their own book, Agenda 21, to be successful, it must be integrated into every human action, every personal decision, what we manufacture, buy, travel, wear, eat, leaders. That's Marxism. That's control, and it's not national control. This, according to the author, is coming from the international control. It's the United Nations that's behind a lot of these actions, destroying property.
Oh, hi, Janet.
Go ahead, Jan, but we do have to move on to other callers, but go ahead, Jan.
That's why they want to take our guns away from us. They're afraid of us, and they don't want us to be able to fight back.
That's true.
We have to protect our Second Amendment rights, or we are gone.
And that's what happened in Rwanda in Africa. They took the guns away 2 years before they did mass genocide. And our President Clinton says, oh, no, this is not genocide. This is a civil war. And do you know who was ahead of that peacekeeping force when they killed 800,000 to 1 million Rwandans? It was our Kofi Annan. our Secretary General of the United Nations, he was the one that actually did not bring troops into Rwanda. There were, about 1,500 troops there, and the Canadian commander asked for 5,000 troops to stop the genocide. And you know what Kofi Annan did? Why, he took our troops down from 1,500 to 150, and he actually indirectly killed those people, also Madeleine Albright and President Clinton.
Jan, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Gee, Rory has been waiting. You're on, Rory. Thanks for waiting.
Great program, Michael, and kudos to Jeannie and Gary for bringing this information back to
and
the forefront.
And to Cyril for coming into the room.
And Cyril, yeah, no, we're learning lots together.
Being a total gentleman. Of course,
yes,
he's not in control of the microphone.
Cyril and I are learning much together here. So, anyway, I think what's very interesting about this whole rubric of sustainable development, and I see that buzzword sustainable used all the time in agriculture meetings and articles. You know, we're going to be sustainable. This is a sustainable system. And it's a broad kind of feel-good environmental turn. Everybody goes, yeah, we want to be sustainable. But then they don't look beneath the surface.
What they mean is for their power to be sustained. That's what they
mean. Yeah, and we're all trying to control and do what's best for our lives, by families. But I agree with Gary and Jeannie. You got these super regional governing bodies that aren't accountable, and they're unconstitutional. Our constitutionally elected leaders are taking their marching orders from these bozos and coming back to us and telling us what has to happen. You look at the Clean Water Act. When was that enacted by Congress? It's gotten to the point now where each farmer in, you know, the whole United States, but, you know, right now in California, you have to have a runoff plan to account for all the rainfall that goes onto your land and off your land, and you have to have it tested to make sure that you're not leaching any pesticides or fertilizers. I mean, it's gotten to that point. It's gotten that ridiculous because these guys are micromanagers, and they take money. They extract substance from the people. And I'll give you an example of where locally here in Watsonville in 95, we had the levees fail and overflow with the runoff from the rain.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that was less than the runoff in 82, 83.
Yeah.
But the reason that happened is you got so many agencies overseeing the levees.
And everybody knows that, and everybody agrees to what you're saying.
And they all sat there until disaster hit. There's like 20-plus agencies that oversaw this.
Do you remember that, Cyril?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
you agree with that, or do you think
it's excessive bureaucratization? Absolutely. It's horrible.
Let me finish. I'm adjacent to the south end of the levee right now on the Santa Cruz side. All the trees are back. All the willows are back. They're not cleaning them out. We're just one flood away from another, one heavy rain year away from another flood. And the problem is they say, there might be this endangered species might live there. Well, that channel is there to get water out of the valley, not for this supposed endangered species. And the environmentalists will cry, and they'll use the Endangered Species Act and all this stuff. And then when the bills come due to the landowners, they're nowhere. The same thing happened in Louisiana. Louisiana was told to put storm gates on the mouth of Lake Pontchartrain. The Dutch engineers were brought in, and they were told to do it. It was stalled and held up because of the damned environmentalists. Where are they?
Well, this micro-controlled stuff being imposed from top down, you look at the animal ID where you got to have a chip in every chicken and every duck and your pet is, outrageous,
yeah,
too.
It's craziness. And these bureaucrats have to be told to shut up and sit down. The people have to rise up with torches and pitchforks at meetings to get these guys and put them in their place, because you look at the disaster in Louisiana. That was preventable. They knew about it. They were warned. They could have done something. The environment said, no, you can't put storm gates on Lake Pontchartrain. It'll damage the sensitive wetland, blah, blah, blah. Never mind a 15-foot wall of seawater overflowing that lake that flooded New Orleans. Okay, where are the environmentalists now? I challenge any environmentalist that's listening to this show to call up and explain an answer for their action.
Environmentalists, in these two areas,
take the flood of 95 in Pajaro, and the Lake Pontchartrain overflow from the storm surge of Katrina. Okay, everybody was warned about.
Environmentalists do not listen to KSCO.
Oh, sure they do. But let me finish my thoughts here, and then I'll bail out. The thing is, there's a great vast ignorance about environmental science information. And these guys, these super regionals, governing bodies, whether it's under the Clean Water Act or stuff that's coming down from the UN or whatever, they come in and say, well, we can't do this because this is environmentally damaging. But it's just an opinion. You just take the whole global warming thing. Oh, CO2 is terrible. No, it's not. It's a plant food. They're trying to classify CO2 as a pollutant. You need CO2 to sustain life on the earth, folks. We're not overheating the earth, but that's the presumed belief, Michael.
Okay.
This is what's driving environmental policy.
Rory,
this
we got to go, and of course I was kidding. I'm an environmentalist, and
yeah,
I listen to KSEO.
Let me just make the last point here.
I want to make
this
sure.
This is costing money. It's costing jobs. It's dumbing down our economy. We're going to lose jobs to India, Mexico, China, where they don't have environmental controls, and we're going to be left with nothing. Okay, it's damaging, and the problem
agree with
is.
You.
And Rory, you said the right word. It's manage. Local Agenda 21 will manage everything: what we eat, what we wear, everything.
Dead wrong.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
dead wrong. Let
Rory,
the people
thank
make the
you.
Decision. Thank you.
Thanks. Finally to Michael and Salinas. Thanks for waiting, Michael. You're
Hello,
on
Michael
KSEO.
Z.
Hey, you're on.
Hey, I'm glad to hear Jeannie and Gary on. I appreciate that and what Rory just had to say. I was calling, you know, it's like I'm hearing all this. I've been listening to it for years. And what I'm seeing going on is kind of like the analogy of the boiling of the frog in the pot. And I liken the pot to these the people that are in the Agenda 21 camp, the globalists, and the frog is the American people. You know, and if we have taxation without representation in the form of more fees, you know, for all the activities that, you know, our basic Americans do, or, you know, regarding like property rights and rebuilding after fire, if we keep going down this road, we're going to end up just back into servitude like we were, you know, under a king. And the one thing that I'm picking up on a lot over the years also is what these people, the globalists, the Agenda 21 people, need to have in order to continue what they're doing is they need to have a screen to hide behind. You know, it's like, well, who's the man behind the screen? Well, you also have to identify who the screen is in order to pull the screen back to see the pot with the boiling frog.
Right. Well, you can see here locally are the foundations. You just look at the Save Our Shores with the O'Neills and the, you know, the other ones around. You look at AMBAG, which gets foundation money also. And that is literally the training, you know, one of the major training sessions for your city council people who rotate as representatives from AMBAG. What they should be made to do is to come back with a report that is public so that the people sitting in those meetings know what propaganda that they're carrying. And it's not only the elected officials. You go through the, as I mentioned before, the city managers, the finance, city treasurers. They've got an organization like this for everyone. And the master in California is the California League of Cities. And from there you go to the International League of Cities. And they usually hold their conventions over here in Monterey.
Well, Gary, I appreciate you and Jeannie being on today. And I appreciate you, Michael, for having this show on the Agenda 21. And I think it's really important that this show, this information gets out so people can hear it. But
well, they'll be able to hear it at the website or dial up.
What's really important is that you don't have the screen, the smoke screen on to block what Jeannie and Gary are saying.
What smoke screen?
Next time you have this show, I think you should leave Cyril at home.
I know
it hurts your feelings, Michael.
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings. No, it goes against
me.
No, Michael. Michael, I got
to
fade you down here. Michael, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I've got a thicker skin than that. My feelings don't get hurt that easily for it to be suggested that Cyril be left home. Whenever we have an opportunity on the Saturday special to present both sides of a subject or a topic, we are going to do that. And I appreciate that we have that opportunity today. From day one, since we've had the radio station, that has always been the policy. You know, fairness, integrity, and respect for all points of view on a topic. It's a voice for everyone. Now, over the years, much more of the conservative than the liberal people have chosen to utilize that voice. And as a result, it's gotten harder and harder and harder to have the kind of Saturday special that I prefer to have. But because one side doesn't choose to show up or declines, we're not going to cancel the program. So I think this is an extraordinary program, and I'm very happy, and I'm very happy that Cyril has shown up, and I will not ask Cyril to stay home, and I will not ask somebody else representing Cyril's point of view to stay home. Now, what we will do, if someone wants to have the Saturday special to advance their own point of view without any kind of other perspective being represented, they can talk to me about buying the Saturday special and paying for it on an hourly rate, probably $600 to buy the hour. And you can run it yourself, and you can run things your way, and just have your perspective and nobody else's presented on the radio. And I expect that we're going to be doing that sometime between now and the election, because there are people who might be relative unknowns who might want to do that and not want to be knocked off track by having any kind of challenges on the radio. Anyhow, I had to make that little speech, and I'm actually surprised that you that I had to do this, because you've been a listener, you've been a loyal KSCO listener and friend for a long time. And how you wouldn't know that, how would you even suggest that I would leave Cyril home or have a Saturday special that only advances one point of view purposely hurts me and surprises me.
Yeah, this station has been a beacon of freedom for many years, and it's unfortunate there's not more independent stations across the United States. And there is a real fear for the Congress looking at the so-called fairness doctrine, which is totally unfair and would put controls on broadcasters. In fact, there are recent upping the violations of saying certain words, etc., can totally put a station out of business. There's a huge risk in owning a radio station, and as much as with the variety of politics we have in this county,
I don't know how long we can continue to own KSCO. I'm serious. It's very, 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 very difficult. Everybody loves it. I mean, people who listen regularly love it. I'm sure there are a bunch of people who hate it, you know, because we're sinking their ship or trying to trying to shine light on the rodents, so to speak. But yeah, what you said is
one other thing I wanted to say before I go.
Yeah.
Well, I understand from what you're saying with fairness and integrity that Cyril has taken the place of representing the globalists and the Agenda 21 people. But I don't quite understand why he hasn't read the Agenda 21, pamphlet.
That's his business.
Okay.
Well, the reason I haven't read it, if I can, maybe say something in defense of myself.
Oh, certainly.
Thank you very much. Do you think that it's okay if I express my opinions?
Oh, go ahead, Cyril.
All right, thank you very much. Now, thank you, Jeannie, Michael. The reason I haven't read it, because I scanned through it. I didn't read the whole 60 pages of it or whatever it is, 40 pages, 40 chapters or 60 chapters in that Agenda 21 that came from Rio, because it's gobbledygook. I don't want to waste my time on gobbledygook. I am not, by the way, supporting Agenda 21. In no way, matter, shape, or form.
So what's gobbledygook?
Excuse me?
What are you saying is gobbledygook?
The Agenda 21 document from Rio.
Yeah, the international
kind
Agenda
of global
21.
Speak, I think.
Do you agree with that, Jeannie and Gary? Is gobbledygook?
No, it's not, because I remember coming on, and for me to understand what was happening, I had to be very specific and very definitive, and Michael would always get upset with me. Oh, you're too dry, Jeannie, all these facts and all these figures. But, that's what they want you to do. They say, oh, gosh, so many pages. But it says, like, underwater, for basic needs of a person, and this is Agenda 21 International, they're going to give us, our government, 10.5 gallons per day. And that caught my interest. And it's all those little things like that that filter down into local Agenda 21, which is only about 65 pages, Cyril.
Yeah, I understand, but there's no point in reading it.
We have so many people waiting on the phone.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Michael, for waiting. And, geez, I'm not very good at running this thing. Let's make a pledge to all five people who are on the phone now. It's 11:47. We have to do a commercial break. Stay on the phone. We'll get to you, we promise. You might not get much time, but we'll get you on just as a courtesy for you holding on all this time. That would be Neil Chambers in Watsonville, Rich from Salinas, Mars from Santa Cruz, Joe from Salinas, and I think Margaret from Santa Cruz is in there somewhere. Go ahead, Dave. Do the commercial break, and we'll get back as soon as we can.
Hi, this is Nancy Norris with Norris Financial Senior Benefits and Services. I want to thank you listeners for catching our new Boomer Talk program on Mondays from 1 to 2. We're answering questions for those of you who are dealing with elder care issues, financial issues, retirement, planning for your estate, anything along those lines. Give us a call Mondays from 1 to 2 on KSCO AM 1080. Or you can give us a call directly at Norris Financial, 408-294-5390.
I have a few new recipes for you. Hi, it's Sophie again, and I wanted to let you know that I've got a great collection of recipes now, thanks to the wonderful Youngevity products, but also thanks to you. I've gotten great suggestions for treats and so much inspiration from you. For example, take a vanilla Nature's Way shake, add half a cup of brewed ginger tea, splash in a bit of orange flower water, and you have a ginger blossom. That came from a lovely lady who called in response to one of my ads. She does the ginger tea in her shake every morning, and she was nice enough to call me and share her idea with me. Now, I added the suggestion for the orange flower water and the name, but I think that proves that together we can accomplish some pretty great things. I have a lot more recipes, but I can always use more inspiration. So call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216, 335-3216. Talk to you soon.
Spending time in the great outdoors doesn't have to mean roughing it, especially when you have the latest camping gear from Outdoor World. A lightweight, ultra-comfortable sleeping pad, a weather-resistant tent, or a cozy, warm sleeping bag will make spending time in the great outdoors, well, great. Outdoor World has the latest gear for camping, hunting, or fishing. Check out the new drip coffee maker from Coleman, designed to fit on camp stoves, or the cool and sturdy stainless steel Coleman ice chests. You'll also find camp cookware, cots, lanterns, and accessories. Going fishing? Check out Outdoor World's selection of fishing poles, waders, boots, and tackle boxes. And duck hunters will love Outdoor World's selection of hunting rifles, ammo, gun safes, and camo clothing. With so much gear in one place, you're bound to find what you're looking for, and maybe something a little extra, like time. Shop Outdoor World in Monterey on Fremont Street, on River Street in Santa Cruz, and on 41st Avenue in Capitola. Look for their ad in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
For grocery shopping the way it used to be and the way it should be, shop family-owned and operated Shopper's Corner at Brand Safforti and Soquel in Santa Cruz. Why? Give a listen.
Because it's the best store in town, and I've been shopping here for, well, since 1958.
I love the neighborhood community feeling that it has, and I like supporting locally owned business. They have exotic little things I like to buy, like tea and cider and things that nobody else has.
They have an outstanding meat department and produce department, and they're friendly and local. I can walk there. It's great.
I love the meat department particularly because all the meat is unusually good, nice variety, and it's very clean, and they have lots of wonderful vegetables and dog products. They're nice, and it's just a great place to shop.
Shoppers rocks.
For meat, cheese, bread, produce, and the best selection of wine anywhere, shop Santa Cruz's oldest and friendliest family-run market, Shoppers Corner. It's the store with a wooden floor.
Okay, welcome back to the closing minutes of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. No? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was the last commercial. That's what it said on the screen, right? Did we miss one, Dave? Okay. Yeah, so we got a number of people here. Before I forget, if you don't get the Santa Cruz Sentinel, pick up a copy today. I'm so proud because my nephew, Andrew McGraw, he's a bigwig with the Cal Bears football team, and they did a whole big story about him on the front page of the sports section today in today's Santa Cruz Sentinel. He's a great guy, you know, and I'm so proud that he's my nephew. So, let's see, got 8 minutes left, so let's go back to the phones. I think. Line two is this Neil?
Yes.
Hi, Neil. Sorry you took so long, and you got less than a minute, but go. It's better than nothing.
Okay, well, I just want to thank everyone. I think this is really an important issue. I wanted to mention what I think is being lost here is that people think that, oh, it's about either we have globalization or we don't, and that's not the issue. The issue is we have globalization coming. Everyone knows that. The question is, do we maintain our laws, our protection for the individual, our water rights, as we move into globalization and give everyone in the world individual rights? Or do we allow a small tyranny of elitists to set down rules supposedly in all of our interest that take away all of our rights, make us all powerless, put us all into a third world helpless and hopeless condition? That's what's really going on here today. There are other websites that discuss local Agenda 21. And, Zero, I'll send you a URL for these because it's a fairly long URL to repeat over the phone. But I'd like to read a paragraph. This agenda may already be driving your community's development, so be alert to the clues. Notice buzzwords such as visioning, partners, and stakeholders. Know how to resist the consensus process. Ask questions, but don't always trust the answers. Remember, political activists.
You know what? We need to have you, go to our blog. We have a blog, don't we, Cyril? You sent an email that we don't have time to read, and I appreciate you taking the time, Neil. But that's what blogs are for.
Yeah,
okay,
go to KSCO.com. You post the show today on the blog,
on
and they
Saturday
will be able
special.
To answer.
Let me just clarify.
Just go to the Saturday special podcast.
Thanks,
course.
And
you
and
can put anything
for,
you want. We
thanks
move
for
on.
Deliberate mispronunciation of my name. I really appreciate
it. Oh, Cyril, he got you. Why don't you just look at the
one?
Oh, it's
okay.
Forget it.
It's okay. I'm fine.
You should have just pretended that you didn't catch it.
Be a big man and don't. Criticize others.
Wait a minute.
I cannot criticize others?
He can.
Why is it? Why is it? Everybody's trying to stifle.
Michael, who's the next caller?
You're right. Who is the next caller? Rich from Salinas, line 5. Okay, Rich, go.
Yeah, hi. This is a great program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
SPP.gov instead of .com, I believe, isn't it? For that website?
Yeah, you're right. SPP.gov.
Security and Prosperity Partnership.gov. Government agencies rewriting regulations so we could have a new European Union here with Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And that's what they're attempting to do, to rewrite. That's why the highway, the whole thing. And for another website, immigration. I'm a big thing on immigration. LatinoCongreso.org. You can find out all about the agenda of all the Hispanics coming into this country and how that affects this thing, too. It's all about control, and that's what regulations are, and fees are taxes. And the more control they have on us and the more taxes they can tax us with, the more they can control us. And that's the big, bad, ugly thing, you know? And
Thank you.
Like termites, and they're slowly just eating away at the house, and pretty soon the house is gone. You don't even realize
Thank you, Salinas. Rich, appreciate your call. Now we go to line 1, Mars from Santa Cruz. You're on, Mars. Go.
Hi. Since there's not that much time left, I'll be as brief as I can. I wanted to thank everybody for all their comments. I really like a lot of what this lady, Jeannie, had to say. I think I'm a bit younger than all the rest of you. I'm going to be 40 2 weeks from today. And
happy birthday in advance.
Hearing about these board members, and in the near future I want to hear as much as I can about more about this and the globalization, and about our local politicians. I just get this this bad feeling, and I've had this feeling for a long time, and it's kind of this feeling of like we're all doomed. I don't know if anybody can relate to that feeling. And and now I'm even more scared because I live in the 3rd District, and as I'm sure you all know, Neil Coonerty has now been elected as my 3rd District Supervisor.
Yeah, bad news.
I haven't been very happy with the Board of Supervisors, but I liked what you said, MZ, about numbers. People have got to be willing to show up in numbers because we've done it at the city council.
Yeah, you're going to – yeah, even if it doesn't affect them directly, you could be next and probably will. Hey, thanks very much for your call, Mars. Appreciate it. Now we go to – who is this on line 8? Who is it? Is it Joe from Salinas? Go, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, go, Joe.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah. Okay. When, is that all you called geese, to say?
When the geese in Monterey and the geese in Seaside have more rights than citizens, and they can poop all over the lawn and the sidewalk, and because they're protected, they can do things that the rest of us would be thrown in jail for. It's time to rise up and fight.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much for calling the Saturday special. Quick facts here from Mike in Santa Cruz. Nationalization of property in the United States is much more clever than in the Soviet Union or Russia. In the United States, the property owner has his name on the title and is responsible for related expenses and liabilities while the government maintains control. Anyhow, last caller for the day, I believe, is Margaret from Santa Cruz. You're on, Margaret.
Hi, the county could put in place an in-depth instruction plan on how to be proactive in conserving water, and namely gray water from washing clothes and washing machines to water grass and landscaping, and just that alone would reduce a huge water waste burden, and most of the new homes built could have this conservation in place upon construction, and the only evil in it all is that the fluoride and chlorine is being added to the earth, but that's, you know, Cynthia Matthews' little toxic gift to our land and sanctuary. But recycling gray water and just giving them in-depth instructions on how to do that in your home, because it's very confusing. People go, well, I don't know how I got to do it. I'll run a hose through my kitchen, and how do I get that water out of the washing machine and into my backyard? So somebody could, you know, do up a nice little flyer and start passing that around. But the city, all they want to do is say, don't turn the water on when you're brushing your teeth. You
Thank
know?
You for your call to the Saturday special. That's the end of the show. Hey, if you want to get to this show, it'll be posted by tomorrow, maybe even tonight, at KSCO.com, Saturday Special Podcast, or just type in SaturdaySpecial.com from any browser, from any internet-connected computer in the world's best if you have broadband. Thanks, Jeannie, Gary, and Cyril for being on the program. It was wonderful. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Kay and Rosemary, for putting the show together. We'll be back next week on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. Who wants to take me to lunch? Is there any listener out there? I haven't been taken to lunch by a listener in a long, long time. You know, and it's about time. I take everybody else to. Who wants to take me to lunch? Probably nobody. Anyhow, we'll see you next week. Take care. Santa Cruz. KSCO.
Remember the website, spv.com.
That's all, folks. To the International Space Station for the first construction mission since the Columbia disaster nearly 4 years ago. Fox News Radio's Holly Hickman joins us live now from the Kennedy Space Center. Holly?
Jane, the road to today's launch stretches back to before the Columbia accident. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin thanked agency workers for deftly handling technical problems.
And in between, we had to dodge tropical storms and lightning strikes and things like that. But we got here, and it was just a flawless day, and I'm proud to have any part of it.
The crew docks at the International Space Station Monday morning. Theirs is one of 16 missions over the next 4 years to help complete the station so world scientists can explore and experiment. Jane?
Thanks, Sally. British Prime Minister Tony Blair in Israel for meetings with that country's prime minister. Blair's support of Israel and the war in Iraq, pressuring members of his own Labour Party to urge him to announce earlier this week he's resigning. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert making a big announcement of his own today.
I assured Prime Minister Blair that I'm ready to work closely with the chairman of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, to implement the roadmap.
Ending a five-month trip on the lam, Ralph Bucky Phillips making his first court appearance on a federal charge of unlawful flight, scheduled to make his second one soon. The 44-year-old career criminal also expected to face murder and attempted murder charges for allegedly shooting three state troopers, one of them fatally, after escaping from a Buffalo area prison in early April. Phillips caught last night in a Pennsylvania cornfield. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Once you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own, or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business, or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Focused on Florence, people across Bermuda putting up storm shutters, hauling their boats ashore as Tropical Storm Florence takes aim on the island off the Carolina coast. By the time it comes ashore, it should be a hurricane.
That's what we're thinking right now. And it's a large storm, so Bermuda will be feeling the effects in the next day or so.
Michael Fiorina of the National Hurricane Center, what about the chances it'll hit the U.S. mainland?
We aren't forecasting it to come close to the U.S., and the only impacts would be potential swell, but we aren't seeing any major, any direct impacts of the storm.
Coming home, Pope Benedict back in his native Bavaria. Tens of thousands crowding the streets of Munich, where he served as priest and archbishop more than 25 years ago before moving to Rome to become the church's watchdog on doctrinal issues. Benedict telling reporters on the plane headed home, "My heart beats Bavarian." 9/11 and the war on terror on the president's mind in his weekly radio address.
On this anniversary, we also remember the brutality of the enemy who struck our country, and renew our resolve to defeat this enemy and secure a future of peace and freedom.
Ohio Congressman Sherrod Brown urging the administration to refocus on Al-Qaeda in the Democrats' radio response. Foaming at the mouth over a free cup of Joe that never materialized. Now Starbucks is facing a lawsuit.
A Starbucks customer suing for $114 million. It may have been cheaper just to give out the free coffee. A customer frothing after Starbucks decides not to honor a coupon for a free cup of Joe, part of an email promotion that went awry. The 23-year-old customer feeling betrayed because her coupon wasn't honored, accusing Starbucks of fraud.
That's Fox's Todd Starnes, and I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, September 9th, 2006. Today, you can expect clearing conditions with highs around 66 degrees, winds west at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, you can expect some clouds with lows around 50 degrees and winds west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow should be mostly clear with highs around 70 degrees and winds west at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a mixed swell northwest 3 to 6 feet at 9 seconds and south 2 to 3 feet at 17 seconds. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for this evening, west winds 10 to 15 knots decreasing to 10 knots after midnight with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a mixed swell northwest 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds and